Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to all of our sponsors, and especially to our espresso level sponsors, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and for hosting our site, and to Expander Digital for both their sponsorship and providing SEO services to us. Now enjoy the episode.
Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Today I have the, and I didn't ask you, I always ask people how to pronounce their name, so let me see if I get it right. But today I have the pleasure of speaking with Sebastian Vanderlands.
Perfect.
Oh, good. I'm so happy. I try. I speak to people all over the world, and I'm always embarrassed when I don't pronounce their name right. So, Sebastian, it's so good to be with you, here with you today. Thank you for being with me. You and I know each other through Twitter. So yep. I don't think we've ever met face-to-face, but you never know. We may be in the same place at the same time soon.
It started with the baby pictures, right?
Oh, that's right. That's what it was. Yep. I asked people to put their baby pictures. That's fun. I love that. And then I think you've heard the podcast before and said, hey, I'd like to be on it. And said, hey, let's do this. So, and then you were sick. And we had to reschedule. And then I was sick and we had to reschedule. And I'm still a little, my voice isn't quite up to where it usually is yet. So this is why it's so good to be the host and let your guests do all the talking.
I'll do my best to fill in the gap. So this is the moment we've both have been waiting for. So really excited. Right. Thanks for having me.
And so which country are you in today?
We're Amsterdam based. I'm living in the Netherlands.
Yes.
Years ago, we would have said Holland, but that's not allowed from this. Exactly 8 days ago, it's not allowed. It's more than that.
Okay, very good. Well, I'm in Rochester, New York, and it is snowing today. So I don't know what your weather is, but it's snowing today here.
And it's morning for you. It's evening here.
Yep. It's just 11 o'clock in the morning here. So very good. Well, thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do. We're going to talk more in depth later, but give us a little bit of an overview now.
Yeah. I tend to call myself a nerd. I'm 31 right now. And before I went 18, I started an agency and it's called Van Ons. That was 2006. Since 2007, we work with WordPress. So we were one of the first WordPress agencies in the Netherlands. And now we're a team of 25. I don't work at the agency anymore because I do something new since the start of last year. And that's WordProof, where we timestamp content with blockchain. And that's a team of five.
That's exciting. So you've been in this WordPress thing for a while and you've been kind of moving along and doing some exciting things over the years. That's great. And I can't wait to hear more about specifically what you're doing with blockchain, which I will tell you, I know nothing about, but I know that when you start talking about it, other people are going to be very interested. I'm very interested as well, but I have less of an understanding.
Perfect. Yeah. And on last WordCamp Europe, I gave a talk on how WordPress and blockchain could lead to a 100% open source future. And maybe what's worth mentioning, I'm actively being part from the WordPress, in the WordPress community for, I think, over 7 or 8 years. I was a co-organizer of two WordCamp Netherlands, which doesn't exist anymore because we have some different WordCamps in cities. Okay. But for the first year in 2020, again, we're allowed to do a WordCamp Netherlands 2020.
That's exciting. So and I think my friend Chris Wegman is working with you all for WordCamp too. He was telling me he's excited about coming over and working with you for the WordCamp Netherlands this year.
Perfect. Yeah. Things are getting started and we're all really excited to do a WordCamp Netherlands again because we have a really small country. So having one big WordCamp, we're all looking forward to that. Really exciting.
That is exciting. So your mug has flown by a couple of times. Show us your mug. Tell us a little bit about your mug and what you're drinking today.
Let's see if you can read what's on it.
It says cookie.
It's cookie and on the other side.
WordCamp Netherlands?
Yeah, it's WordCamp Netherlands. So it was one of the merchandise items and we didn't have WordCamp Netherlands for years now, but I still have the mug and the cookie you see here is a stroopwafel.
Oh, yes, it is. And I still haven't had one. I need to get some stroopwafels.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Maybe I come to WordCamp Miami. I'm not sure. Are you there?
I'm hoping to be there, yes.
Okay, so I promise you to bring stroopwafels if I go there and you go there. Let's keep
okay. I love it. That's wonderful. Thank you. And I think you're drinking water. Is that right? Because it's the evening there.
Sparkling water, yeah.
Yeah, very good. Well, I'm drinking tea because I am trying to recover. I had one coffee this morning already, so that should probably be enough coffee today. And then
what's in the mug? Perfect.
My cat is my spirit animal.
For the people without video, my cat is a spirit animal.
That's right. I have three of them, so it depends on the day which one is my spirit animal today.
Perfect.
my biggest cat, she is 16 years old this year. She's 20 pounds. She's a big Maine Coon cat, and she walks very gingerly. She has arthritis, so today I'm moving rather slowly, so she's my spirit animal today.
Wow. And a Maine Coon, 20 pounds, only for a Maine Coon, that can be normal, because it could be this big, right?
She's a very big cat, yes.
And even without hair, she's really big, right?
Exactly, exactly. And then the hair makes her double the size.
They're absolutely stunning. They're so beautiful.
Yeah, she's a good cat for sure. So tell us a little bit about how you got started with WordPress. So you said it was a year into your agency that you started working with WordPress. What got you involved?
What got me involved? I started to build my own content management system, like any nerd at that time. And then I thought, wow, this is inefficient. And then I thought, okay, I didn't hear of the word open source yet, but I thought, okay, CMS, what is there on the internet? And I tried some of them. The first one we worked with was Modix. I'm not sure, M-O-D-X. Then we tried Joomla, but I instantly fell in love with WordPress. And I'm not sure the hottest thing in town by then, I guess it was permalinks, that you can use a slug instead of just a question mark, and then I was sold.
Yeah, I still don't understand why the permalinks are not set as the default to the slug.
Yeah,
it should be.
I think we have to, if there's someone to blame, it might be the hosting providers, some of them not supporting it, but yeah. Maybe that was 5 years ago. I don't know.
I don't know. We should open a support ticket somewhere and say, this should be the new way it works.
With index.php in between, but let's decide to get rid of that. Now that we've dropped support for the old PHP versions, let's move on with this as well. I totally agree.
Absolutely. So when you look at websites and when you're building websites, what do you think is something that we as designers and developers, we're not focusing enough attention on to make a good experience for the end user?
I don't build websites for more than 2 years now because I'm totally in the new WordProof plugin. But I think, and it's a cheesy answer, but to keep it as simple as possible, I think, I'm a technical guy, right? I think maybe, and that's what I tried to do once, is maybe all websites can have the same theme. I like some sites to be, but there, in a way, if you don't know, or for the most SMEs, of course there are exceptions, but the most SMEs, they can use the same theme. They can keep it as clean and simple. That's, for example, what I like on Medium. I like WordPress far, far beyond Medium. And especially with the new Gutenberg editor, but it's the vision of, hey, there's a best way to present information if you don't care about really design, because if you do it right, design is amazing, but if you don't care, please go to a default. That's why, for example, my own blog, I used default theme 2019. And when I find time, I will move it to 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of the designers, especially people who are maybe more web builders than designers, so they're just using the themes and trying to put all the information in. They don't think about the information architecture and how to simplify it. So
exactly, yeah. And if you're not consciously changing things, let's stick to the default, because the default is so good. And especially with in 2020 with the new Gutenberg blogs, stick to a simple theme, a Gutenberg theme. You can do everything you want without the bagage.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Is bagage a word?
We say baggage, but it's
baggage.
It's,
without.
You said it in a very French accent, which I liked, so that's okay.
Because you have the Netherlands, and then you have Belgium, and Belgians do have a Dutch or Flemish, they say, and
yes,
then they have French. So
French,
yes. You have some influences of that.
Absolutely. Bagage, I like it. I think we should say it that way in the United States from now on.
The thing is, they're actually at WordCamp. I'm not sure if this is the right moment to tell about it, but something really magical happened for me last WordCamp, because 2 years ago, I decided I want to do something with blockchain. I did my first blockchain programming in 2013, but then I thought, okay, if I want to go in blockchain, I really have to be international or talk English. 1.5 years ago, I never did anything in English. So actually, wow. I was really scared to do it. And then I did I submitted a talk December 2018 to do on WordPress and blockchain. That's the one I told you about. Okay. But then I thought, okay, if they invite me to speak, I have to learn English rapidly. And then I went on a course in January and February. And halfway that course, I heard, yeah, you can talk. So it was kind of gearing up me learning English. And now I dare to do the interviews. I dare to do the talk. So it was really life-changing, because it opened my world.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. I've been using Duolingo on my phone to try to learn Spanish. But I stopped doing it when things got really crazy for WordCamp US, and I haven't gone back to it yet. So I think I've forgotten a lot already. So I need to get back into that. Learning languages is wonderful.
Plenty of time. And it makes, in a way, new language is, for inclusivity, it's a great thing to learn a new language. Not only in understanding it, but also in translating it to the other language.
Absolutely. We Americans expect everybody to speak English, and that's very conceited of us.
But in a way, it's learning a new language is like having access to a new API, to a new set of the world. So
it is.
From that perspective, it was mind-blowing how much that opened my world. I could never expect that upfront.
That's wonderful. Well, I'm glad you had that great experience.
For the listeners, that is... WordCamps or submitting a talk are a great way to push yourself out of your comfort zone. That's how you can use the amazing community of WordPress in a way, or leverage. You bring something from yourself to another culture, and you learn a lot there.
That's great. I love that. What's something that you wish you'd learned earlier in your WordPress journey that might have made life a little easier that you know now?
It's the open source thing. I start to grasp the concept. I work with that software. I work with open source software, and we finally produce open source software for a year or three or four now. But I finally start to grasp the power of open source. And for example, we did a plugin on the GDPR, and it's been downloaded. GDPR is that crazy EU law. It has bad things, but also the intention of EU is really good. It's about protecting the privacy of people all in Europe, because they say, hey, because people don't take care of their privacy themselves, we make companies and organizations responsible for that. How they execute it is not sexy, but the intention is beautiful. And then we learned that people were not willing to pay for it because it's not productive in a way. So our customers at our agency said, hey, I don't want to pay for that. Or actually, that was the tendency on the web. We said, okay, this is the perfect moment to start to really contribute to open source. And then we made, from our idea, what is the best possible way to do it. And then we made it available for free. And
that's
it got downloaded for 1.3 million times and has over 100,000 active users. And then I really started to fall in love with the power of open source, because it was more sexy to work at our agency. It felt good to contribute in doing code. We always contributed with doing things for WordCamp, doing meetups, but now we can contribute with code, which is actually, I think we invested around 70 or 80K in hours, which we could have easily sold to customers. But it, yeah, the power of open source, being really connected to it, is amazing. And so we do more and more open source projects right now.
That's wonderful. I love what open source does to create community as well.
Wow.
You know, it's amazing. You know, so you look at all of the, you know, Wix and Squarespace and things that, yes, you can use them for free, but if you want it to work well, you pay money for. It's not open source. You can't just, you know, port your site from here to there. And they don't have the community that WordPress does.
No, exactly.
You know, and not just locally, but globally. So I agree. Open source is amazing.
And what we try to do, and that's not only with WordProof, because WordProof is WordPress and blockchain, bringing the benefits of blockchain to WordPress. But another project that we did at Von Ons is, WordProof is a separate company, but other project we did is Lada Berg. And what does it do? It brings the Gutenberg editor to Laravel, to a totally other open source community. And it got lift off. WP Tavern wrote about it. I think it has hundreds of stars on GitHub. And what does that do? It bridges communities. And as Matt Mullenweg said in an interview, Laravel or not Gutenberg can maybe make our market share in the CMS market to 80 or 90%. And I fully agree on it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And to be able to not, you know, box ourselves into one place is pretty cool.
I think very so, cool. Yeah. And WordPress, and that's what I always say in my presentations, it's community plus open source software makes a market leader. Wow. At least once a month, I cannot sleep by that idea.
I love when somebody says to me, well, if it's free software, how do you make money? I said, oh, let me tell you, there's an ecosystem built around this.
and that's the thing. And because for every $1 Automattic makes, the ecosystem makes $20 to $21. And that's really a healthy ecosystem. For example, when you had Windows 95, they had that same. They had Microsoft and they had the people who are making programs for Microsoft, and there was kind of a balance. That's the same balance. They say 1 to 20, around 1 to 20, and that's the ecosystem we have with WordPress as well.
Yeah, exactly. Anything that's free is making somebody money.
Yeah, but I remember I was, and that was really a strange moment for me. I was in WordCamp San Francisco on 2011, and that was the moment that at State of the Word, Matt said, what we will do, or we from now on, there's WooCommerce, something like that.
Yeah.
And then half of the room was, yay, amazing, we're going to do e-commerce. And the other half was, are you going to earn money on with our stuff? So in a way, there's some friction as well. And open source, it has so many facets. Mightily interesting to see. Even people in the community are not totally for monetizing the software.
Right, and I always say there's growing pains in everything. So, you know, people were complaining that Gutenberg, the block editor, they don't like it. It's got so many negative votes in you know, WordPress.org when the Gutenberg plugin came out. But now, if you embrace it and you work with it and you learn it, it's really amazing what you can do with it.
And the thing is, there's big paradox in open source because we have a community, we are decentralized in a way, it makes us really resilient against almost everything in the world, but also because we're organized so badly in a centralized form of science. Our marketing is bad, our innovation is slow. Gutenberg worked because it didn't start as a community thing, but it started small.
Right.
That's controversial, but the only way to get a big change as that one is. And I dare to say that if Gutenberg didn't start small, then maybe WordPress, at least the market share, would be declining in the coming years, because now it's our new competitive advantage.
Mm-hmm.
So,
And the fact that it doesn't compete directly with the page builders also helps it to continue to grow. If it was competing directly with page builders, I think we would find a little bit of a different friction.
But don't you think that they compete directly with page builders?
In some ways, yes, and in others, no, in my opinion. So, like, I use page builders when I build a site, and I tend to use Gutenberg, or the block editor, I guess we should say, for all of my posts.
Yeah.
But for my pages, I use page builder. So I do a hybrid for things that I'm working on.
And do you think in 5 years, how would that be?
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how it grows and how they work together.
Yeah. And what we see is, especially for new sites, I would always go Gutenberg only. But then, it's a hard thing. Because what I always try to do with software is to stick as close to how it's designed. Because that's in most cases, that's the most sustainable. But right. Yeah. There's always a learning curve with new things. And then you have to start again with. So there's some friction, especially for our customers. For example, in my agency or in the agency, a lot of people still don't use the classic editor. Because, there must be a reason to transform it to Gutenberg. Not only transform it to Gutenberg, it's not reason enough because that's not productive.
Right. So I used to teach classes. I used to teach, some local WordPress classes. But because, I've worked for Give now for 2 years, so that takes up a lot of my time. When I was freelancing, I could, carve my time a little differently. But so I used to teach WordPress classes. And then Gutenberg was released, the block editor came out, and I had to stop teaching classes because I wasn't proficient enough in the block and using the block editor to actually teach a class.
Yeah.
And now there are people who have started using WordPress in the last year and a half for whom Gutenberg and the block editor are their native native WordPress to them. So
especially since the new release or with the 2020 in it, when you can group blogs, that started, then I was able to really make the page I want without the editor getting in my way actually.
Yeah. And I have to admit I haven't used 2020 yet. So that's something on my list in the next month or two to start to get a little more proficient with that. So
no rush, but it's beautiful.
That's what I, and being able to do your slides, right, with the Gutenberg slide plugin.
That's what I did. I have to look into that.
Yeah. So Taylor, who works for Give, she's doing that now whenever she speaks. And I'm just, she's an early adopter. She loves it. She rushes right in. And I'm trying to emulate some of what she does and learn to adapt more quickly.
Matt did really great job in leading by example there.
He really did. That was phenomenal. We were all like, oh, what? Wow. Yeah, for sure. When you think over the meetups that you've been to, the WordCamps that you've attended. Now, I know you gave the keynote at WordCamp Europe last year. So that was probably a pretty high spot for you. But is there a pivotal moment or something that was really, truly inspirational to you that you met somebody or learned something at a WordCamp or a meetup? And what was it?
Let me think of that. That's a general answer. I always meet new people at WordCamps. It is so many of them, but let me stick to organizing because the WordPress community in the Netherlands, the people doing that are, I really made friends, and not only for that year, but for a really long time. And that's what WordCamps in the Netherlands did. It's kind of, we're not competing, but that's not just a story. But that's true. And for example, we were in a call with organizers for WordCamps in the Netherlands. Plenty of us did that before. And then it felt like coming home, and that's so special. Hey, we can do this again. And actually in the Netherlands, we had to fight to be allowed to do WordCamps in the Netherlands again. And we we almost thought of, okay, let's not call it WordCamp, but do the event. And we ended up with doing it the right way, of course. But it's the meeting the guys and really not being in competition, but really running an ecosystem together. That's pivotal. That's yeah. pivotal for me. And it's, yeah, that's period.
I love it. So take a few minutes and explain to us exactly what your blockchain, WordPress, WordProof, tell us a little bit about what that's about.
Yeah, shall I? Because the keynote, WordPress to Blockchain, is on YouTube and it's on wordpress.tv. So maybe we can add that link. It's a half minute talk and a 10 minute yep. Q&A. We had to stop the Q&A because the time was finished. And so I won't grasp the concept really deep,
right.
but yeah. For example, what is blockchain? Or most people have heard of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is a way to transfer value from one person to another without the intermediary of a bank. So without a PayPal, but you can transfer value, but you can also transfer, it could be anything. It could be data. It's secure data transfer from one person to another.
Mm-hmm.
It has kind of a bad reputation because there were a lot of scams in 2017, the Bitcoin and the blockchain, and that's what we have to fight against. Bitcoin is not that popular in Europe or US, not by the normal people. And why is that? Because we have a stable currency. We have the dollar, we have the euro, so it doesn't really fix a problem. Then you have a look at, for example, Venezuela. What is the normal inflation in the US? It's around 2% a year. So yeah, there's inflation in Europe, we have the same. But in Venezuela, in 2018 alone, was 2018? Yeah, the inflation was not 2%, but 3.5%. Not on a yearly base, but on a daily base. Which means wow. that if you have $1,000 today, in 7 days, it's only $600 or $700. And at the end of the month, it's only $200 or $300. At the end of the year, it's less than a cent. So there was no safe way to store your value. You can't have some money and buy food for your kids 1 month after.
Right.
And there, the local amount of transactions in Bitcoin, so people exchanging Bitcoin, went up. It skyrocketed because for them, it was the only safe and legit way to store your value. So there it really solved a problem because the government was not able to provide the people with a safe way to store their value.
Yeah, that's exciting.
And actually, what is Bitcoin? Bitcoin is open source software, the Bitcoin software, everybody can see it on GitHub, plus a community, its users, made not the market leader, but made a bank which is inclusive, auditable and trustworthy for all participants. So what WordPress does to publishing, democratize publishing, blockchain, or in this case, Bitcoin, can democratize finance, and the blockchain technology can democratize doing business and everything else. And that's what I like so much.
That's awesome.
And if one short example, you have the Uber, the cars. And I took my first Uber in San Francisco at the WordPress conference. I guess it was the WordPress conference 8 years ago. And then the driver paid a fee of around 15%. So I paid the driver with my credit card and 15% goes to Uber and the rest is for the driver. But then I asked the driver, and I asked it there in San Francisco, but also in Amsterdam, we have Uber here. Hey, if you have to pay 20%, will you still do this? And they say, no, of course I won't do this. Today, there are more Uber drivers than ever. What are they paying in Amsterdam? It's around 27% fee. So they're kind of in love with their kidnapper. It's called the Stockholm syndrome. I'm not sure.
Right.
And because it's hard for them to transfer because it's their bread and butter. But yeah, they're fully reliant on Uber for their bread and butter. It's mm-hmm. hard for them to change, and they have no guarantee at all that it won't be 30% tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And that's what blockchain can bring. It can make, you can say, hey, with blockchain, you can program value. So you can say, hey, I build an Uber on the blockchain. I deploy smart contracts. It's business logic, but then in code, but transparent. And then I have my own Uber. The only problem is somebody has to build it before it can be used. But, and people say, hey, who's gonna pay for this? And then I always say, we did the same in WordPress. We are the market leader, 35% of the web, hundreds of thousands of ambassadors, people who are building with WordPress. And how do you compete with a community of hundreds of thousands of people working with that software? How do you compete as a closed source alternative with that software? You simply can't. And that's what can happen with the blockchain technology. We can, communities can challenge corporates in the way that WordPress won, in a friendly, open, transparent way. So I'm a big ambassador for all open source initiatives like this. Sorry for the rant.
No, I love it. One of the things that I think might have been working against Bitcoin and other things is the fact that we call it cryptocurrencies.
Yeah.
And that the word crypto makes it sound so shrouded and so like black market and dark web that I think that people were afraid to embrace it because it gave it kind of this another feeling like what it's too dangerous, right?
Yeah. And so, it's, for example, Matt Mullenweg, he says that a lot in interviews, open source or the open web doesn't just win because it's open. Open is being part of being better, but the user experience, or there should be a real other competitive advantage. So for example, when you have the Uber example, you have a part for the driver, you have a part for Uber, but there's 30%, let's say 25 to 30% going to Uber. But then if you make an open source alternative, you can say, hey, we just ask for 2%.
Right.
Which means that 25% of that 27 is dividable by 2. You can say, hey, it's 13% or 12.5% cheaper for the rider, while the driver gets paid 12% more. And then you have the same service, the same user friendliness, but then cheaper, while the driver is getting paid a higher fee. So then the driver is going to tell his driver friends, come to this new one, and a writer is going to tell his writer, all his friends or her friends, and then you can get a flywheel effect because it's a better value proposition for everyone. But just the fact that it's more democratized, people don't care about that. That's only for tourists.
Right, exactly. Well, thank you for that explanation because that actually helps me understand it a whole lot better. I scrubbed through your keynote, so I didn't have the time to devote the full hour to listening, but we will be putting all of those links in the episode, so if anybody's listening to this and they want to be able to click through and learn some more, visit wpcoffeetalk.com, look for this episode, and you'll be able to have all of those links, of course.
Perfect.
Oh, awesome. Well, let me move into our rapid fire questions. I'm curious to see what some of your answers for these will be.
Yeah.
Yes. We forgot to do that part.
Yeah. So, sorry, forgot it. What it does, you have content, any content, and what you can do is make a hash of it. Do you know what hashing is or do diffuse?
No.
So, there's a document, for example. It could be content, but it could be the certificate of your education. We hash it, and then you have a string of 32 signs. For example, a more easy example is a password. So, for example, you have the name of your cat and explanation mark after it. Could be your password. Could be anything. But if in your database in MySQL, there are never stored passwords. There's always stored a hash of a password. Exactly. And you can always say, hey, if I do this input, does it result in this output? The output is in the database. Because when your database or when any database gets hacked, then it's useless because it's just the hash. but the input will always lead to the same output without the possibility to reverse engineer. You can't hardly go back from, hey, what was the input that leads to this output? So what we do is you have a piece of content, which can be a single post, it can be a page, it can be a WooCommerce product, whatever. You make a hash of it, and we do that in really a standardized way. And that hash could be stored on the blockchain. From that moment, you can always prove that you had that information at that specific point in time, which makes sense in case of plagiarism, which makes sense in copyright cases, but also, and that's the thing we work on the most, in search engine optimization. Because, for example, what happens a lot in search engines, or search engine optimization, people just change the date of an article and just change one or two sentences, and you rank higher in Google for a short time. And if Google was able to easily solve that, they would have done that years ago, but they are not able to. So what we're working on is making that timestamp part of schema.org of structured data. So in a totally open source manner, you can prove your integrity to search engines and social media. So that's the thing we work on. And 8 or 9 years ago, we asked ourselves, hey, a mobile website, does that impact my Google ranking? And of course, yes, it did. They even have a separate index for that. 2 or 3 years ago, we said, HTTPS or SSL, does that impact my search results or in Google, the how high I rank? Of course it does, because it's a higher quality, a more secure result for the end user. And then the question, hey, will the fact that there hasn't been tamper with the data, and I can prove that I didn't, will that make it a higher search engine result? We think at least it's a higher quality result, so it should be able. And on news sites, for example, today, that's one of the things we work on. If you often news sites, they say less edited 7 hours ago. And of course you can say, wow, they are so transparent that they share when they changed it. But you can also say the opposite. What was there 7 hours ago that I'm not allowed to see anymore? Yeah. So what we fight for with WordProof is making all revisions visible and timestamp them so you can prove that you didn't tamper with that data. That makes sense in publishing or in journalism. For example, as a journalist, you can link to a revision of an article instead of an article, so you don't put your reputation at risk. But imagine e-commerce. I buy a product for a set. Yeah, there was a specific product description, and there was a specific moment in time that with the terms and conditions. Then the product breaks, and then I say, hey, my product breaks, can you help me out? And they say, maybe they changed the product page, maybe they changed the terms and conditions. And as a consumer, I'm totally relying on their willingness to help me. There's no level playing field between both. And with timestamps, you can, in an open source way, get a verified copy of the product page, of the terms and conditions. And we aim to make that the standard. Proving the integrity is kind of a human right. And so we want to bring that in an open source way.
I love that. That's fantastic. So and I love that that's your contribution to the open source community as well.
That's what we try to do. So and everybody can try it for free. There's a free plan. There's an open source way, which will be free forever. For everyone, but then you need to have some technical knowledge. That setup takes you 20 minutes around. And there's a way where we stamp for you without losing your own account, because decentralization is about having your own keys, about being able to do everything yourself. But even then, we have a free plan to make sure that it's accessible for everyone.
So if you could find a way to apply that technology to the United States president's Twitter account, you could really make some money.
Yeah, I think so. For example, Twitter is a great example. When a CEO, they tweet something and for whatever reason, the stock price goes up 100 million or down. And if you tweet something wrong, then you can end up in jail for doing a wrong tweet being a CEO. Mm-hmm. maybe the CEO from that moment says, oh, it was not me. Twitter says, hey, it was not, there's no one, it was not an inside job and we are not hacked, then it's really hard as a consumer to verify what really happened. And then we end up with, okay, we don't know, maybe nobody's responsible, let's move on with our lives. Building with blockchain, and that would be the future, is committing to integrity by design. And we from the WordPress community, we know that already because we work with open source software. So we as site owners, we don't, we trust the software because we can check if our data has not been sent to Google or whatever. But our consumers, our readers, they have no possibility. They can check, they can trust WordPress because we built it with WordPress, but they still have to trust us as a site owner. And now what we do with the timestamping is even making that transparent, making it possible to do verifiable copies themselves. So it really makes the consumer more powerful. It equals the playing field between a publisher and its reader, between a merchant, a shop, and its buyer. So it makes a more fair and inclusive world for every consumer, for everyone in the world. And that's what we work on.
I think even more impressive than the words that you say is your passion that you deliver them with. So I love that you're so passionate about it.
The problem is often I look angry with it, but I try to smile. Okay.
You don't look angry at all.
Luckily.
So the rapid fire questions aren't really rapid. You can take as much time as you need to answer them, of course. But the first question is, what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to someone who's building their own website?
2 years ago, I would have said the Gutenberg plugin, but it's not necessary, of course, anymore. And I use Yoast, the SEO plugin. Mm-hmm. Not only, I think that should be mandatory. It shouldn't be part of core, but it helped me in improving my English so much. Mm-hmm. Because it's coaching me on maybe years ago, it was just on SEO, but now it helps me coaching on readability. So Yoast really, really helps me in improving my English.
Yeah, I love that. It helps me understand better how to deliver good content.
Yeah.
And the readability is good when you're, especially when you're writing technically, to understand that maybe you're shooting too high. Or maybe it's perfect. You know, you never know.
It's of course, if I have to name a second one, I think WordProof. Am I allowed to say that?
Of course you are. This is your opportunity for sure.
WordProof, of course. It's an open source way to prove your integrity and help your consumers or readers to, but we already talked about that.
Yeah.
And if I have to pick a third one, I won't say the GDPR because it's not favorite. It's mandatory and then it's okay. I use as less plugins as possible. So I'm meanwhile scrolling to my WordPress dashboard. I have one. I have a special one. Coco Analytics. It's a new one by the Danny van Cota. He did the MailChimp for WordPress one. And what Coco Analytics does is privacy-friendly analytics plugin for WordPress. So it doesn't do anything with cookies, with external sources. It's totally running on your WordPress website without slowing it down.
Oh, that's cool.
CocoAnalytics.com.
I'll have to take a look at that one too then.
And 2 or 3 days ago, he reached the first 1,000 active users, my blog being one.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful. Very good. It's good to be able to support people, especially if you find that their product is really good.
Yeah, and he is really, I have a lot of discussions with Danny. He's really into, I don't know many people in the WordPress community who are more into open source than he. He's really in, okay, you can't monetize before you have the first 100K users. Otherwise, yeah, we really have some on a philosophy level, interesting discussions about, hey, what's mm-hmm. the right way to work with that software and to monetize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's great. At any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor whether it was an official mentor or somebody that kind of took you under their wing or that you looked up to, and who was it?
I look up to a lot of people. A mentor, and should the mentor be a WordPress?
Not necessarily, it could be business.
Yeah, so for example, I have a business manager, business mentor. His name is Brian Heerman. He's a guy, he did a lot of agency work in the Netherlands. He founded the first agencies maybe 25 years ago. So I learned a lot from him. And there are a lot of people I admire in the WordPress space as well. That's a Remkes, that's a Yoast. I had really much fun with Chantal when we did WordCamp when we organized WordCamps long ago. Uh-huh. I really like what Rian Rietveld is doing with the accessibility work. But I feel guilty now because I'm gonna forget to mention so many names. So, but are plenty of people who are really like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. The next question is there somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why? This is your chance to throw another name or two out there if there's somebody else.
Yeah, let's say Matt Mullenweg. I really, the way his leadership and being controversial sometimes, but all his talks and what I did, I recently published transcripts of some interviews he did because the quotes in there are mind-blowing. I'll send you a link of the blog. Maybe you can add some links. But I really admire how Matt works and how he thinks and his mission to be kind of operating system for the web. And it's really, for me, if I can, because you have Matt in WordPress, but there are some blockchain projects with thought leaders who are as inclusive and forward-thinking as he does. It's my personal mission to bring those things together. Matt Mullenweg, and then you have Brandon Bloomer. That's a guy in the blockchain space. If I, in a way, can bring those together, that would be magic. They're both aiming to make kind of the open source operating system of the web. Yeah, if that mindset could come together, amazing.
That's awesome. What's something that you'd still like to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't learned yet?
I work with the software for over 12 years now. So I know a lot of WordPress, but there's so much I don't know. What I want to know is how we can bring WordPress, Gutenberg, to every other CMS in the world. Open source, but also to proprietary. So it's more an adoption question than a technical thing. Mm-hmm. So that's number one, bring Gutenberg to everything in the world. And number two, how we can replace MySQL, the database, with a blockchain to really commit to integrity by design. So that would be the technical answer.
Very good. You really are a nerd. I like it. Even more nerdy than me.
But I try to keep it accessible. I try my best. I hope that it works.
I think it does. You're doing a good job. What is the biggest mistake you've ever made with WordPress, and what did you learn from it?
I made so many. Let me check. We did in 2014. I ran a startup, and it was called Site Geregeld, and that which means fix a site, because we thought, okay, the default of websites is so terrible, and we have to make fast websites which are responsible with a good call to action. That were the three things that almost every site lacked at this moment. So what did we do? We made kind of a WordPress multi-site, but then we rebranded it. We didn't say that it was WordPress. We changed some things in the interface. And I think that's my biggest mistake, because of that, we had to write all support things. Why not be transparent? There's so much value in running a proposition by that. The company miserably failed, by the way, as many companies who tried to do exactly that did. But I think the trying to rebrand or make it something else, that was it was a mistake. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of work and it didn't make sense.
Well, what's your proudest WordPress moment then?
The I think for now, but that's in general, that when I shifted from the agency to WordProof, I'm really able in a way to work full time with community. And that's what I'm really proud of. For example, my talk on WordCamp Europe, I did more than 200 hours of preparations just for that talk, because I thought it was so important to tell that story right, that I thought that was totally worth it. Mm-hmm. So being able to, in a way, for me, it feels that I can spend my time for the full 95% of it in being purposefully making this a better open source world. Is that a good enough as an answer?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So since I switched to WordProof, it feels like being purposefully working with open source and WordPress for such a big chunk of my time. So.
That's awesome. If you weren't working in web and web technologies or any of your current projects, what's another career that you might like to try?
Maybe in a circus or professional Rubik's Cube artist or a magician. I think a magician, that would be great.
And then
Before I did this, or when I was 15 or 16, I was an all-around DJ at weddings.
Okay.
And I like to entertain, but then with a bit of learning as well. And music could be learning, but it's not mandatory learning. If you can combine entertaining with some education, that would be and I used to be a teacher in open source software, but I see that kind of WordPress work, so that doesn't count. So I think it would be education and entertainment, something on that cross border, and probably with magic.
I like magic is fun. Absolutely. What's something on your bucket list?
I want to marry, and that's what we're going to do in September.
Congratulations.
What I tried to do, and I said that in the start of my talk, it was to have Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up or Together Forever, having perform at my wedding. I'm not there yet, but if that won't work, having Rick Astley at one of my parties once in my life, and the wedding would be great, but otherwise the 5 or 10 year anniversary, because I think I will, let's see what happens. But having him on my party, that would be amazing.
I can't wait to see that happen. You have to put it on YouTube for sure.
I will absolutely do that.
Show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about.
I hope that it's the passion thing, that if I work on something like WordProof, I know that the world is going there, and I'm kind of grumpy that we're not there yet. So I hope that people see that I'm not grumpy, but that it's passion, because I'm not sure if passion is a talent. I'm not sure if passion is a cool answer to your question, but I hope that is the thing. And I hope that people don't think that it's grumpiness.
Okay. I don't see you as being grumpy, so hopefully not. So tell us how people can find you on Twitter, how they can find you, your website. Give us some information.
Yeah, we have wordproof.io. There you can set up WordProof in less than 5 minutes. We have a WordProof.io as a Twitter handle. Then you have my personal Twitter handle. That's Dalans, D-A-L-E-A-N-S. And the WordPress agency, it's a really Dutch name, but it's van-ons.nl. I'll send you the link, because it's really Dutch.
And all of those links will be on the post as well.
Exactly. So Delance and wordproof.io. And then the personal blog is Sebastian with double A at the end. Sebastian's.blog.
Perfect.
Link
and in all of those links will be in the post on wpcoffeetalk.com for sure. Thank you so much for being with me today. And if you have any last words you'd like to share with our listeners before we sign off?
I want to applaud the work you do with WP Coffee Talk. So I use my last words for that.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. We will see you. Hopefully, maybe I'll be at Miami. You'll be at Miami. Maybe I'll see you there.
With the snow waffles, promise.
I love that. And I look forward to meeting you in person and keeping in touch on Twitter in the meantime. So until the next episode, we'll see everybody then. Thank you. Bye.
WP Coffee Talk with Michelle Frechette is a proud supporter of WP and Up, whose mission is to support and promote positive mental health within the WordPress community. Visit their website at wpandup.org.